Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're going to talk about the Office on Youth this morning and restorative justice. Deb Lokrantz is here, and she's brought a couple of friends along that we'll introduce you to in just a second. But Deb, good morning. Welcome. Thanks for coming back.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning.
You were in earlier in the year, and I learned so many things about the Office on Youth that I didn't know before. And I think this is probably the start of many times you come in and talk about some topics that you're involved in. Tell us a little bit about the Office on Youth and what happens, what you do in this area.
Sure. So the Office on Youth has been around for over 25 years. And for many years, our clients were all court-ordered adolescents, so we never really reached out in the community. We didn't have a need to because we were pretty busy with the status quo. With prison reform and different changes, mm-hmm. There's a lot less kids that are involved with court service units, which therefore means we have a lot less kids coming from the court services. So we've been just kind of working the last year to reach out and go to different DSS agencies and schools and talk to social workers and counselors about the programs that we have. So we do have a couple programs that are available to anybody. So a parent can refer, a school can refer, anyone can refer. Those are our substance abuse education classes. So we've got three different classes. We've got 2 4-week classes and 1 8-week treatment class. So it kind of depends on where they are with risk. So a low risk or a medium risk is going to be a 4-week class, and a higher risk is going to be an 8-week treatment class. If we find that the kids in the medium risk are maybe indicating either verbally or through drug screens that maybe they should have a little bit more time, we'll just kind of drop them into our 8-week substance abuse class. So that's available to anybody. And we also have anger management classes that are available to anyone, which they're taught by a school social worker and previous TDT, therapeutic day treatment person who worked in the schools as well. So they've got a lot of experience working with kids. We've got restorative justice class that we've had since 2004. That was set up, a long time ago. It's the contemporary restorative justice in our nation has been 30 to 40 years, depending on where you look and where you read.
Okay.
And so back in the early 2000s, there was really a push for restorative justice, and we began doing restorative justice classes. Last fall, we incorporated into our programming conferencing. So that's really a different, more intimate situation, sitting down with the offender, the victim, and anybody who was affected by the event. And then there's a facilitator. Brian will talk a little bit to that. I facilitated my first court-ordered one this last week. So it was exciting. It was scary. But it was a pretty cool outcome. So, and then we have a big program, community service, where kids are court-ordered to community service. And they come to us because a lot of agencies don't want to take minors, but they'll take our kids because we come with 2 adult facilitators as well. There's more to just doing community service. Like, we look for every opportunity to have conversations with them, to build them up, to find their strengths. We realize that these kids that are coming through our doors, a lot of them have suffered trauma, mm-hmm. Have things going on, and you know, I think it's really important that we recognize that, and that we're trauma-informed, we're restorative approached, and we're just trying to help these kids as much as we can. And we've really reached out into the community the last year or so, again, partnering with many, many agencies. I think we're up to 15 to 20 agencies that we're partnered with. In the past, it was pretty much roadside litter control. So we're kind of reaching out, and I think part of it is just to give the kids the ability to see that there's a lot of families in need, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of needs in our community, and there's a lot of agencies in our community that are doing good and trying to help. So when we go somewhere, I always talk to them about, you know, what are we doing and really, you know, what is our purpose here? So say yesterday we went to the food bank. So we had a conversation about, you know, why are we, what are we doing, yeah. And where, you know, what are we doing to help the community? And letting them know that there really is purpose besides, yeah, you're getting your hours done for community service, but you're actually helping out the community. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, boy, to be able to partner with agencies like that, like you say, yeah. And give them sort of a broader view of things.
Yeah, yep.
And if an agency is interested in getting involved with you, just contact you?
Absolutely. Please contact me. Absolutely.
How do I do that?
You just can give me a call at 540-755-2636, extension 114. Or my email is deb@officeonyouth.org.
Okay, and we'll give that throughout the program and let people know. So, do people get to you strictly through the court, or do you get referred to someone a counselor or someone in a school says, I think you ought to talk to somebody?
Yeah, for anger management, since we've been reaching out and letting the community know that we are here and we have services that are available to anybody, like our last anger management class was 9 kids, and I believe 4 or 5 of them were not court related.
Okay.
So we're kind of, you know, working on that whole referral system and just getting the word out that we do have some good services that could benefit kids. I recently had the privilege of doing a Toastmasters leadership group at the Rappahannock Juvenile Center, which was a pretty cool experience, and taught the kids leadership, taught them kind of the basics of speech giving, which is sort of funny because I have the fear of speaking, but maybe it helped me too. I don't know. But it was really cool, and they were very enthusiastic, and I did not think that they would be. We had a group of 10 young men, and I thought they'd be like, are you kidding me? But their favorite part of it was giving speeches, which sort of blew me away.
Yeah, I'd never guess that.
And we're going to be starting another one, and that was with Failsafe ERA. She's come in before, Juanita Shakes,
yeah.
And her organization, so we partnered with them and came in and did that. And in the fall, we're going to be doing another one with girls, but it's going to be more related to self-esteem, healthy relationships, kind of more of that, teaching them how to stay calm and recognize things differently than maybe they do now.
I think I said this to you when you were in earlier in the year about just how you're doing just a lot of good behind the scenes and working with and just hopefully you're intervening with a lot of these kids and helping them turn things around.
Well, that's my hope too, and I feel like every opportunities are kind of dropping in my lap, and so I'm thankful for that, and I do. I think that not every kid is going to make changes because of something that somebody said in a group that I've done.
Right.
But I do. I'm pretty proud of the work that we're doing. Another thing that we're doing with piloting this year with Spotsylvania County Schools is a new workshop on Saturdays called Voice. And that's centered around what they call the Ds, the Code of Student Conduct Ds, violations, disrespect, disruptive behavior, and defiance. And I was speaking with John Lynn and which kind of talking about that he'd like the kids to be able to go to something to maybe learn to work on those things. And as we were having a conversation, my mind just kept going back to emotional intelligence. Like, this is all about emotional intelligence, self-awareness, self-management, empathy, social mm-hmm. skills. So me and 4 of my fantastic facilitators sat down after John said, yeah, that sounds really good, and we put together a workshop. So we're going to be doing that in the fall with SPOTSY, Spotsylvania County Schools, and we'll see how that goes. But I'm kind of excited about it. I think it'll be good.
Yeah. We need to take a break in just a second here, but we'll introduce you. You brought a couple people along because we're going to spend the rest of the time this morning talking about restorative justice and what you're doing. And you brought a couple of your partners in.
Yeah. So I brought Laura Pinkerton. She drove on her own. So I brought Laura Pinkerton from Battlefield Middle School. She's the assistant principal. She's a huge advocate for restorative justice. She's been an incredible partner to me with the pilot that we've done this year that we've worked on with them with Spotsylvania County Schools. And I've learned a lot from her, and she's got a lot of energy and enthusiasm about restorative justice, so it's very appreciative. Brian Vaughn is a practitioner of restorative justice. He is, I've informed him that he's my mentor, but we're learning from him. Me and my facilitators that will be doing the work are learning from Brian. He's got experience, he's got education, and so we're very appreciative to him as well.
Before we take the break, Laura, how did you first meet Deb in the Office on Youth? How did that all start for your school?
I think we actually got started through the criminal justice system.
Okay.
In 2016, we had several students who had received some charges, and the juvenile intake office had referred them through restorative justice, and that's actually how we met Brian Vaughn. He was the facilitator on some of those restorative justice circles that we hosted. And through Brian Vaughn, we got hooked into Office on Youth. So in the fall of 2016, John Lynn, our safety officer in Spotsylvania County, had started putting feelers out for pilot schools who might be interested in restorative justice. It was something I had read about and something I had done, you know, a little bit of research on. And then we had a really good experience with Brian and the criminal justice system. And so it just seemed like a good fit for our community. And so it's been about a year and a half, going on 2 years of kind of, you know, slow work into getting it into our system.
Brian, it's got to be exciting for you to be seeing restorative justice being taken on in various different levels, and especially at this point with the school level.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how much time right now before the break, but I had been in dialogue with the Office on Youth with Deb's predecessor Bunny Chitterston, and also the current director, Ben Nagel, for a number of years because they were interested in this. But really how it took off into the form we know it now is when Deb reached out to me about 2 years ago in the aftermath of the conference that Laura's speaking about. We facilitated a conference about 2 years ago with several young women at Battlefield Middle, and it went very, very well. What's most memorable about the night, by the way, besides how great it was just a terrific thunderstorm going on during the whole thing. The lights blinked and all that. But anyway, so when Deb reached out in the fall of 2016, then we began a partnership, and things have just really taken off. And so, yes, I am really, really excited. I've been involved with restorative justice since 2006. I ostensibly came to this neck of the woods back in 2004 to finish my degree at Eastern Mennonite University in the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding, Conflict Transformation, and I got a master's certificate in restorative justice and started a program in Orange County. And then my wife and I moved to Fredericksburg in 2012. She got a job with Prince William County Schools.
Okay.
And that began my conversation with the folks on the Office on Youth.
We will continue this topic and conversation. We're talking about the Office on Youth this morning and restorative justice the rest of the time. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions. We've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Restorative justice and the Office on Youth are focused this morning. Deb Lokrantz here with the Fredericksburg Regional Program Director with the Office on Youth. Laura Pinkerton is here, the assistant principal of Battlefield Middle in Spotsylvania. And Brian Vaughn here is a restorative justice practitioner and a licensed therapist at Riverside Counseling Center. Brian, as far as restorative justice goes, kind of define what we're talking about here.
Yeah, it's in many ways, it's what in some way or another we all would have grown up with, and I'll get into that in a few minutes. But essentially, restorative justice looks at crime as not so much a breaking of a law, but a harming of a relationship. And so there are three basic questions that restorative justice asks. What happened, who was harmed, and what can be done to make things right? And so what I mean about what we may have grown up with, I know when I was a kid, mm-hmm. if I did something to somebody's yard, not only was I to say I'm sorry, but I needed in some way or another to make it right. I repaired, I paid money, or something like that. And I needed to face the person and hear how their behavior, my behavior, impacted them. And so that's an essential piece of restorative justice. So it comes out of indigenous cultures throughout the world, what we would say Native Americans, along with First Nations people in Canada, where when something happened within the community, they gathered in a circle with the elders and eldresses and talked about what happened and what that person or persons can do to make it right. And so it's seen as a way of not only a person having consequences for his or her behavior, but he or she grows in understanding of how their behavior has impacted someone else, and that's empathy, and that's a major piece in helping anyone to choose better behavior afterwards, and then how the community can be, as a result of that, made whole as a result. So I first became aware of this through Piedmont Dispute Resolution Center, which is in Warrenton, Virginia. They work with Fauquier County Court Service Unit for a long time. I was first trained by several people there, Lori Parker and other people. And then I approached the folks at the Orange County Juvenile Probation through the Office on Youth to say, well, this is something that can be offered as an alternative or to support what's happening in a criminal justice proceeding within a youth. So probably from about the year 2006 through 2012, I facilitated about 20 to 25 conferences that ranged anywhere from property destruction, shoplifting, and probably the most significant one was a racial slur incident that happened in Orange County High School. So typically what happens is it's referred by the juvenile probation system. Any of us who are practitioners, we meet with the person who did the behavior, who did the harmful behavior. Then we ascertain whether that person is in a place where he or she can say, I'm sorry, and listen to how their behavior impacted the other person. Then we reach out to the person who was harmed, have a pre-conference with that person. Usually it involves the parents. We always talk with the parents saying that you are secondary victims in this too, because their behavior impacted them. Then we have a conference, and typically that can last anywhere from an hour to 2 hours. And then the last piece of it is then what is it that the person is asked to do or volunteers to do in order to make things right with that person. So I'll ask Deb to talk about the most recent one, about some examples of how that occurs. So that's basically what happens. In the schools, it has more variation, so I will refer that to both Deb and Laura to speak further about that. But I don't know if you got any questions for me right now.
No, the way you started that is the way I think we all remember, you know, of when we did something wrong. And it's interesting just how that's all evolved.
And restorative justice has been used anywhere from, you know, incidences that I've described all the way up to capital cases, murder, also in sexual abuse. That's a particular interest that I have in that too.
So I guess, I mean, the fact that, and as you even mentioned, even the broader cases, it does work.
Yeah, it does work.
And
it shows a reduction in crime and then also a growth in empathy on the part of the person that has done the offending behavior. So,
Laura, I'll go with you then as far as Laura Pinkerton's assistant principal at Battlefield Middle. How has this been implemented? Because I know your school was part of a pilot program.
Correct. We were asked a couple years ago if we'd be interested. We sent a team of four or five along with a couple from Massaponics High School, a couple staff members, and we were trained by the International Institute of Restorative Practices, which is just one of the agencies that promotes restorative justice in the country. We went to a week-long training just so we would have a better background of how things worked, how circles worked, and we could really kind of wrap our heads around how we wanted to move forward in the schools. It works in kind of two different realms, I think. You know, we certainly do have some cases where kids, just by requirement, by law requirement, have to be charged. And so a lot of those cases, some of those cases come back from juvenile intake into formal restorative justice circles that Brian or Deb or someone helps us facilitate. And then at the school level, certainly with some of our breaks of code of conduct, we do some formal circles as well, which includes parents, maybe office on youth, a school social worker, administrators. And then our big push at Battlefield, actually, in terms of getting it into classrooms, has been more on the restorative practices side. So restorative justice is looking at those crimes, those breaks of code of conduct, and looking at, you know, how you can repair that harm for that instance. Restorative practices is going to go hand in hand with it, but be more systematic in terms of the whole community. And so we have, last year, we kind of embarked on restorative practices in the form of circles. When a crime or a harm has been done, the restorative justice takes those kids and puts them in a circle form where they have, you know, they're sharing, they're talking about what happened, they're talking about how it harmed people. And that circle can be very foreign and very difficult to sit at. It's really difficult for a kid to sit in a circle with their parent, the parents of maybe somebody they've harmed, with administrators, with facilitators. It's a really hard thing for them to sit and do. And so our thought was, you know, let's build on circles. Let's make circles comfortable. And so we really started with just doing circles in our classrooms. Our teachers were challenged to try to do two circles a week in their classrooms. Each block, so each kind of class built its own community. Where I come from, kind of philosophy-wise, is my thought is if kids feel a part of a community, they are less likely to harm that community. And when I presented it to the student body last year, I described it in very simple terms. You are less likely to graffiti your mother's bedroom wall with a can of spray paint than you might be the food lion down the street, because you know you're going to have to answer to your mother. You know your mother will know who did it. You will have to speak to her. You will have to repair that harm. And so the idea was, you know, if we kind of make that school a community, students will be less likely to harm it. It's about building relationships with each other, with the adults in the building. And so we really kind of started on that side of it. There have been some instances where we've seen a need or an opportunity to hold a formal circle in terms of a code of conduct break or an instance maybe that happened in the building. And so those get kind of taken into administration, or we refer to Office on Youth and ask for help for those. But on a daily basis, we are using circles. And we provide our teachers with questions. They start very, very kind of surface level early in the year, so no one, you know, feels like they're too raw and too exposed. Very simple questions.
Yeah.
Favorite colors, favorite foods, very just get to know you questions. Mm-hmm. And then we scripted them as the year went on, so they became a little deeper. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be? What scares you? You know, what calms you, things like that. And everyone takes a turn in that circle, in that classroom. And so it's kind of a place for everyone to talk, everyone to speak. And kids have really found a lot of commonalities, a lot of things, in, you know, that they haven't, you know, kind of can share. And I think as time has gone on, our kids have even come, we've heard instances from teachers of our kids demanding circles, saying, it's circle time, we have to get together, we need to talk. Especially if things aren't going well in the classroom, maybe there's a kid who's kind of off task a lot, talks a lot, is bothering somebody. The kids will ask for that circle time, and they can kind of address that in that forum then.
We need to take a break. We're talking about restorative justice. Interesting stuff here this morning. And the Office on Youth. Laura Pinkerton is the assistant principal at Battlefield Middle. She's here. Brian Vaughn is a restorative justice practitioner. And Deb Lokrantz is the Fredericksburg Regional Program Director for the Office on Youth. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
We are talking restorative justice and the Area Office on Youth this morning. Deb Lokrantz here from the Office on Youth. Laura Pinkerton's the assistant principal at Battlefield Middle. And Brian Vaughn, a restoring justice practitioner. Before we took the break, Laura was describing some of the things in the at Battlefield Middle. What's interesting, Laura, is that you've been able to use this for the big stuff and even the little stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know, of course it's important for the big stuff to find alternate ways to kind of make up other than just out-of-school suspensions. There's not a lot of data that out-of-school suspensions really change behavior, and that's kind of how I see my position and how I see school discipline is our, you know, we're in it to teach and we're in it to really help reform behavior, and there's not a lot of data that, you know, out-of-school suspensions really help reform behavior. And then on the flip side, there's really not a lot of data that out-of-school suspensions really help the victim. Mm. It's not necessarily always what the victim needs. And that's what we've kind of taken, you know, that lens at Battlefield is what does the victim need to be whole again, to be able to move forward? And very rarely do they feel like the person who harmed them needs to be out of school.
If I may jump in at this point, Ted, that's one of the foundations of restorative justice / restorative practices is it is fundamentally in many ways a victim-centered program. We want to really ensure that the victim, as much as he or she can be made whole. And one way to think about it, if a child is or a student is suspended, so the young person is away 5, 10, maybe 15 days, or in some cases even longer, they come back, but nothing really has changed. Mm-hmm. You know, the relationships, there might be some informal conversations. And the other thing I just want to interject at this point is as Laura was speaking about a few moments ago, there's been great awareness in the state of Virginia for a number of years, the Commonwealth of Virginia, about how is it that we can lessen the number of students who are suspended, because again, statistically, it's not really helping them. A number of years ago, the state of Virginia, and they're still doing that, they have run a number of conferences called Classrooms, Not Courtrooms, and they've talked about restorative justice as a way of responding help improve behavior within school and create that sense of community. Another local organization that's been very much involved with this, and that's part of how I got involved with this too, is Virginia Organizing. They were looking at the school-to-prison pipeline, and restorative justice was seen as a way of helping reduce, again, the number of students that are, for want of a better way of describing it, labeled as, quote, troubled or bad kids. And typically they're kids of color. And so that was particularly mm-hmm. the angle that Virginia Organizing was taking. And what's really exciting is one of our colleagues in this, Officer Larry DiBello with Spotsylvania County Sheriff's Office, he's a school resource officer. He's been really very excited and enthused about this. And so it's just a way, again, of how is it that we all can be involved with helping kids who have made choices that hurt others. In some cases, it's because they've been hurt, but regardless, what can they do to make better choices? And then that's part of what I do to make a plug for. I've worked often with youth who have come through the criminal justice system for a variety of reasons, and how is it we can help them to get better? Because one of the better their behavior, one of the things sometimes that's recommended in a restorative justice circle is a young person, well, you seek counseling for your anger management, for the difficulties that you're having at home, for your oppositional behavior. So that could be one of the things that's required to help make it right in the aftermath of his or her hurtful behavior.
Laura, what do you do in the case where, because it seems like all of these parts, everyone has to work together. And what happens when the victim just says no? You know, I don't want to deal with this.
We don't go forward in the restorative justice.
Okay.
You have to have all parts working.
That's what I thought.
In those pre-conferences that you hold prior to those formal circles, a lot of that kind of gets teased out. We had a case that we thought could perhaps it was a pretty big case. An offender had harmed a victim at school pretty greatly, physically as well as emotionally, and the offender had been harmed emotionally, and that was where the retribution had come in. But we called Brian to come on in and help us kind of take a look at the case. And in a pre-conference with the offender, that it was clear that she was not going to sit and listen. It was clear that she had really not a lot of remorse, and she said she would do it again. And that was, so Brian and I talked after and said, okay, this is not an appropriate case. And so there are times where the brakes have to kind of come on, and you have to say, okay, this is maybe not an appropriate case for restorative justice. Not every case is a good fit.
We all forgot to say this, that it's all voluntary. It's never forced.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I figured, but
I think, a lot of opponents of restorative justice, when I started researching it, I learned one of the conferences I went to, I learned that the biggest opponents of restorative justice tend to be teachers, law enforcement, traditionally, and prisons, which was interesting to me. But if you think about what restorative justice does is, it lowers recidivism rates, that repeat offender. We're lowering those numbers of repeat offenders. And so people who maybe have gone to prison for 3 or 5 years aren't ending up back in prison. And if we look at prison as kind of money-making, that people who back prisons are big opponents of restorative justice. And that was very interesting to me. Teachers sometimes are opponents because it can come off looking soft on discipline sometimes. And I think it's changing that mind frame and getting people to really understand that sometimes answering to people in a circle where you have to really own up to what you've done and you have to listen to what you've done to other people is really kind of facing the music a lot more sometimes than a couple days at home with a video gaming system.
Well, and the other piece with that too, Ted, is that typically through the juvenile court system, they will call this a diversion. But what that concretely means, as I understand it, is that this will be one thing that they do, but they still might have, judicial consequences, such as maybe some time in detention, court fines, restitution, things like that. So it's not sitting around in a circle doing that rather than... Now, in some cases, it could be that, depending on the circumstances, but it's in addition to...
Depending on what you've done, yeah.
Right.
You
it,
may
it
have...
Still, it doesn't mean because we're using restorative justice that a suspension won't happen. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes it could mean that suspensions are shortened, perhaps. We did one last year where, the suspension would have been a 10-day, and we kind of rushed it and said, okay, well... suspension until we can have our restorative justice circle. So it was able to shorten it to a certain degree, and we could, work on those relationships so that child could come back to school and move forward for everybody. And so I think, we really worked hard to sell it, and I think Deb brought some quotes from my teachers of just some information. We had done a survey and some information that they have provided back. So I'll let Deb share some of those.
So I think an important part to this conversation is relationships and trust. And when I look at it, my family says I'm a hippie, whatever. But when I look at it, I feel like it is more than just fixing things in the school. And restorative justice is not the fix. I think like in Laura's school, they're starting yoga this year. They do PBIS, which is positive behavioral interventions
and supports.
And supports. So they've got a lot of different programs, but when we're all working together, I really think that, we're looking truly at relation. Every time I go to a training, whether it has to do with counseling or therapy, or it can have something to do with other things, I always hear relationships. And that's what's really important. So these are three quotes from three different teachers that I interviewed at the end of the school year after this first year of piloting. So one teacher said, it brings people together. Students realize teachers are humans, and students realize they have things in common. Another teacher said, I feel strongly that circles have helped build a class community. That kind of relationship building helps everywhere in the classroom. And another one said, circles improve social skills and positively affect relationships peer-to-peer and student-to-student and teacher-to-teacher. So really, we're looking at all these different relationships. And so it's not just, you know, improving things in the school. If we start doing more restorative work and approaching things more restoratively, we can change our community through the juvenile justice system. You know, like the conference that we did last week, you know, my hope is that the two boys that offended a woman in the community walked away with a much better understanding of what they did. You know, they didn't mean to do it. It was an accident, but they were doing it. And so for them to understand that, wow, her little girl is scared now. And like these, and we discussed the things that could have happened, you know, so it wasn't too bad, but bad things could have happened. And, you know, so it's just kind of a deeper conversation. It's not just like, I'm sorry, it's okay. It's, you know, I'm sorry. And this is how it affected me. And how did it affect you? And then one of the mamas was crying. And, you know, like it goes a lot deeper, and it helps them to really, I think it does increase empathy. So I just think that the relationship and the trust part is really important. One day I went into Battlefield Middle last year because we're doing what we can to support the schools in their endeavor in bringing restorative justice to the schools. And so I went in one day, and it was mind-blowing for me. But I went into classes where some of the teachers were doing circles regularly, and some of the teachers weren't doing circles much at all. And I don't know if it was coincidence. I kind of doubt it, but I could walk into a room within a minute and go, oh, they're doing circles. Oh, this class is not. Mm. So we were doing this big circle, and we were kind of just going around. And one of the young ladies in middle school said, again, this is like a trust thing. My dad's an alcoholic, and it's really hard for me. And I've never shared this before. So what do I do with this? You know, we're in a circle, and I'm in a school. I don't know this girl. I'm not her teacher. And so I took the restorative approach, and I said, okay, what can we as a community do to support her? She's just shared something that's really, really intimate and special to her and close to her heart, and she trusts us enough. So what can you guys as a community do to help her? And so they started throwing out ideas. What can they do to help her? And that's the stuff that happens that you just wouldn't even imagine, because we weren't talking about alcoholism. We were talking about something completely different, and she brought something really heavy and deep into the conversation, and then it allowed the community at the class, you know, the classmates and the teacher to hear this and to talk about how they can help her.
And Ted, that illustrates how it creates a safe place, mm-hmm. and those issues come out, because all of us know people that have had been impacted by the addiction issue with a parent or something like that, and there's a lot of anger and hurt, and the fact that she reached out and said something about it that could help her subsequently, first of all in seeking help, and secondly to further regulate her emotions so that she wouldn't necessarily lash out later on. I'm just speculating there, mm-hmm. but that's the whole idea. It's creating a safe place where people can do that, kind of like what you do here. So,
well, and I think, you know, it allows us to sometimes find some of those kids that maybe have been under the radar and quiet and aren't sharing, and maybe we don't know about their struggles. And it allows us to kind of bring some other interventions in for that child if needed, you know, whether it just be a counselor checking on them every so often. You know, we try to make it as safe of a place. We always post our questions. I have my teachers post the questions on the board, on the wall, however they want. So people who are shy, who don't like to talk, have time to prepare their answers. So we try to make it as, you know, comfortable as an environment. But I think out of these circles, we've discovered some underlying things that perhaps none of us may have ever known and would have resurfaced as they get older, as they get into high school. And so we can bring some services in earlier on.
Yeah, help them now.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, that's been a great thing out of these circles as well, is being able to kind of get to know kids even on a better level.
Town Talk Finance by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking about the Office on Youth and Restorative Justice this morning. Deb Lowkrantz, Laura Pinkerton, and Brian Vaughn here. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Great discussion this morning about restorative justice in the area, in Spotsylvania County Schools has been our focus this morning. Laura Pinkerton's the assistant principal at Battlefield Middle. Deb Lokrantz with the Office on Youth in the area. And Brian Vaughn is a restorative justice practitioner. Brian, is this being done? Is Spotsylvania unique? Is it being done elsewhere around the state?
The leaders in this have been Fairfax County. They began it coming up on their eighth year now.
Okay.
The coordinator is a woman who trained me. Her name is Vicki Shope, and she's also come to Spotsylvania a number of times to share her expertise. But there's several other people throughout the state who've worked in Roanoke County Schools, along with in Charlottesville and Albemarle counties, and also Chesterfield counties. Those are the ones that I know of in the state. There's an informal group of us that meet at St. George Episcopal every quarter to talk about what's occurring. And there's also a statewide Restorative Justice Association. And its predecessor was Restorative Justice Association of Virginia.
Laura, your school, or you were part of a pilot. Is the pilot continuing? What happens this next school year?
Yes. So we will continue at Battlefield Middle, and we will start helping out one of our feeder elementary schools.
Okay.
Spotswood Elementary will kind of dip their pinky toes in this year with the help of Brian and Deb that are going to support that effort at Spotswood Elementary to bring some restorative practices to that campus as well.
Did you find when this first came about that was there openness to it? Or I mean, I guess you had. I'm sure there would be the people that would say, like you said earlier, of some saying, you know, come on, this is.
It's mixed reviews.
Yeah.
It very much is, and I think Deb kind of hit the nail on the head that people who are using it in their regular days, in their regular classroom routines, are really seeing the benefits and are becoming champions of it. Those who are a little bit, shyer of the process and aren't quite as sure sometimes still have some concerns or some worries about it. And so those are kind of where we'll target this year, is really supporting those teachers in their classrooms who feel like they need a little bit more help, a little bit more training, a little bit more support in their classrooms. And so that's what we're going to work on this year. And then we will help as much as possible in terms of supporting Spotswood Elementary as they get started as well. And the hope is, eventually we kind of have those linear systems that kids that feed into us and that we feed into, then we'll have we'll get all these schools on board so we can kind of have from a K to 12 perspective.
Yeah.
Grow kids who know this system.
Deb, for kudos to the Office on Youth for tackling this and the people that you have behind you that are, you know, helping you along.
Well, thank you. It's been quite an experience and a great opportunity.
You had a shout out or something wanted to do, I know.
Well, I wanted to go back to relationships and the importance of relationships. And a lot of the kids that I'm going to kind of shift from restorative justice just for a moment and go back to my community service program. They're all court ordered, and these kids sort of have an attitude toward law enforcement, and law enforcement might have an attitude toward these kids. And so my hope and dream is to at some point partner with the local law enforcement agencies and have some kind of aid where they come and do community service for them, possibly with them. And so if anybody's listening out there who might be interested, who works for any of the PD-16 law enforcement agencies, I'd love to talk to you about that to get something going and get these kids experiencing that law enforcement are really cool people.
How can people get in touch with you again?
My phone number is 540-755-2636, extension 114, and my email is deb@officeonyouth.org.
Well, thank you all for coming in. This is great stuff.
Here,
yeah, thank you. Very much.
And perhaps we can do this again and continue to get updates as this goes along and other schools go along. And Deb, thanks for your work with the Office on Youth and with this.
Thank you.
We'll see you again too.
Thank you.
Deb Lokrantz is the Fredericksburg Regional Program Director for the Office on Youth. Laura Pinkerton, the Assistant Principal at Battlefield Middle, and Brian Vaughn, a restorative justice practitioner. Town Talk, financed this morning by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. That's it for Town Talk. We will see you Monday on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.